And Brother Jim's prayer covered so beautifully the meeting we're going to be having. Our meeting is a watch night service. It's been some time since we've had a watch night service in Chicago. Some of the brethren may not be too familiar with it. But it's a nice way to end the year. It's a way to end the year on reflection, whether it be by your testimonies, whether it be by devotional readings or songs, but to look back, in this case, not only over the year, but over the century, and in appreciation over the millennium. We have quite a many-fold turning of the clocks tonight. And so we take this opportunity to review our experiences for that time. Brother Jerry Leslie will be directing our thoughts. Give our attention to him. We encourage all the brethren to be ready to participate with their testimonies. And now we'll leave the meeting in Brother Jerry's hands.
It is customary and a privilege to bring love when we meet in conventions like this. A little later in the convention, we'll bring some specific love from brethren individually. But I would like to bring love from the Portland Ecclesia and also from our brethren abroad, just as a little reminder of the bonds of love that bind our hearts together. We bring special love that was expressed from brethren in Romania, brethren in Moldova, brethren in Ukraine, and brethren in Siberia. This is a watch night, and you are the watchman. We will arrange testimonies and ask you to come to the front portion of the rows and use the microphones this evening. But we're going to suggest testimonies with a purpose. And particularly ask you, what experiences, what providences have marked your way that if others could see through your eyes, would bring them some faith and some courage in the year ahead if they remembered what you said tonight? Generally, that's always something in our heart and mind to do at a testimony meeting. But think about it. What would bring others some faith and strength and courage if they could see something of your experiences through your eyes? While the year 2000 is not significant in the Jewish calendar, nor in most other dating systems or prophecies that we understand, wouldn't it be special? Wouldn't it be really special to think that it could be the year of our victory? And brethren, it could be. You know, we are the product, our lives are the product of others' lives and teachings and examples and precedents that have gone before us. We like to give tribute to the faith and the courage of those that have gone before. Wouldn't it be a blessing if you could pass a legacy for others to be faithful? Some things that you do and you say and you think and you struggle with could be a legacy for others. At the opening of this convention, Brother Michael opened with some quotes. Some very significant and profound quotes. We've made a selection of some things this evening, and interspersed through the testimonies, we will have some of these read. We have Brother Mark and Sister Estera to read some of these quotes for us. But primarily, we'd like to have your testimonies and would like you to come forward to the microphones for those testimonies. And we'll also take some occasions for prayer for our brethren here, for our brethren abroad, that we can join a little closer with one another in these final days and hours of this year, but also the final days of the last days of this gospel age, that we might be drawn together in prayer and devotion and love for one another. So, brethren, before we open the testimonies to you, I'd just like to read a little quote that may set our hearts and minds in motion. Another year for thee. Another year we welcome, dear Master, may it be, in thought and word and action, another year for thee. Another year for leaning upon thy loving breast, where heartaches, pain, and sorrow are lost in happy rest. Another year for proving thy holy, blessed will, to find my joy in doing and in thy hand hold still. Another year of service to prove to thee my love. Another year of training for greater works above. Another year of trials and the blessings that they bring. Another year's protection beneath the shadow of thy wing. Another year of gladness, dear Master, may it be, in living and in dying, another year for thee. So, brethren, we would like to open this time now for your testimonies, your reflections, something that would help us to see through your eyes how the Lord has led you. So, who would care to testify? The microphones are here. You tell us your name and give us your testimony.
Brother Elias from the Jackson class that said their love. And his brother Larry says, we want to tell about some blessings that we have received this year. I have a big blessing to share with you. At any rate, sometimes we feel that if we're going to serve the Lord, it's always going to be green pastures and sunshiny days. Well, I know that all of us that have consecrated or given their hearts to the Lord, it hasn't been that way. They had the good days and the bad days. And some of my bad days is like busting up a car. I've put so many miles on the road that actually the law of averages, or Murphy's Law, whatever you want to call it, you're going to have some problems. If it's not your fault, maybe it's just somebody else just runs into you. And we all have to see that, provide for our homes and our families and what have you. Well, I lost a car in Wisconsin. Then I knew I had to replace that. And I was on my way to do a good deed. I said, now, if I'm going out to do a good deed and get to bust up the car, you know, that doesn't sound right. The Lord was with me. Or maybe I had something else in mind. I just can't figure out what that was all about. But I knew I had to replace the car. And at the same time, I had a job to serving the class in Jackson. Now, making a living and devoting your time to the Lord, and you know, it said that you look for dollars and cents. I don't know if we can't come to the Lord and say, well, I need X amount of money and what have you, but I need to take care, as we say, take care of business. So I had to get a car, and I said, "No, this is like talking to the Lord. I can't do this. And my first obligation is to take care of my family, and then whatever I sacrifice to the Lord has to be mine." So the first thing I had to do was, get this car. I got the car. I think it's no more than, it was a nice car. I thought it was real nice. And 2 weeks later, some kid was on his way to work, and he was late, and I was in his way, and busted up my car, our car. And then anytime anything happens in your life, if you're living with the Lord, you're going to ask, there's a message in this for me, Lord. I know there's a message in me. So the only thing I can feel is like, I got to go back to work. I can't do this for the class. And I got to get another car now. This is car number two, busted up in a very short length of time. Then you're always looking for, Erna always tells me that he gives the best who leaves the choice to him. So I'm leaving this in the Lord's hands. I might say I'm doing that, but I'm still trying to figure out a way out of this. No delivering angel talks to me at midnight. At least I don't feel like that's. So I'm having to find a way to solve this particular problem, and that is to get another car. Well, when the settlement, so my decision is that I have to get another car, and I can't do anything for the class because my job is to the family. Well, when everything was settled up, they said, "Well, then since you just bought the car, we're paying for the car, and we'll give you an extra $2,000. I'm saying, "What? I can't believe this." This is self-talk again. I'm not talking out loud. You know, you're supposed to be smart and keep quiet. But my bottom chin hit the floor. Paying for the car, and here's an extra $2,000. And so, first of all, the main thing is to shut up and listen. And my insurance agent said that when you bought that particular car, you paid X amount of dollars for it, and you got that. Good bargain. And the market value says that you have $2,000 over what you paid for it. Now this I had no idea, and you know, I'm just saying, how do these things happen? This is a good part. How did these things happen? So I was agonizing over this decision of what I have for the class, and there was no way that I could do this if I had to go to work and buy this car. But now here's, you say that the Lord's not a good paymaster? And it could be that if I had gotten injured and had to suffer for a while, this is all in the Lord's hands. I mean, you know, it doesn't always come out that way. But this time it did. And what about my class, the things I had to do for them? Did I need to ask what was the answer? I think that if we trust, and I'm saying this, but I mean, it's hard for me to say trust in the Lord. You know, it's just like saying, bless you, doesn't mean anything. But when we are living close and you're asking the Lord, you're asking me just like your coach, would you call the shots for me? You know? And so as best that we can, in other words, someone just follow through that here it is. Now what? So do I have a problem? I don't have a problem. And I thank the Lord for, this was one of the good days. Now I say, and you all know that, there's good days and bad days, but this was one of the good ones. And trusting in the Lord, he gives the best who leave the choice to him.
Thank you for those lessons and experiences, and particularly the lesson you've drawn from it to trust in the Lord. And as you say, not all of our days are sunny. There are some that are cloudy. But these are lessons for us to make decisions, experiences to plan and to make choices and priorities, and ultimately, as you say, to trust the Lord in every experience. Let it be so with all of us through the year ahead.
Brother Jerry and dear friends, my name is Fred Yesenchuk, originally from Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, but I spend most of my time now in Edmonton, Alberta. It just happened to be so that I live in that area now, and there's quite a few brethren in that area which never did have regular meetings, and I think we're coming to that point which we are getting regular meetings in that area. And the all pastor loving greetings from Barrhead, Alberta, some old-timers, the Harms. They're in their 80s, their son Bill and their daughter Diane. And for a while I think the thought was that the door was closed, but now with the first volume of study, I believe they're starting to change their mind. And then there's regular meetings in Edmonton, Brother David Nichols and Sister Irene Gerner and Sister Vicky Durhack. Pass all their loving greetings to you all. And coming through Winnipeg, the last Sunday's meeting, they passed also their loving greetings. Of course, Brother Fred Rachel is here, and I think I beat him to it, passing the loving greetings to all the brethren here in Chicago. And I must say, I'm very happy to be in your midst. The past, I was some 40 years since consecrated, the Lord has dealt graciously with me. It's about 10 or 11 years since the last time I was at the Chicago Convention, but this year the Lord was permitted by the Lord's grace for me to be in your midst again, and I'm very happy for that occasion. And the experiences of the past, like Brother Jerry had mentioned, if there was any, I say most all of them, I try and get the lessons which are necessary from them, and they were, you could say, all good experiences which were good to my progress in the truth and along with the brethren. And I need your prayers, dear brethren, let me continue, and I'll keep you all in my mind and my prayers. Special greetings also from Sister Agnes Siwak from Winnipeg, and Frank and Ann Boychuk from Winnipeg. Ann is my sister, natural sister. And I'm happy to be in your midst, and I'm sure that the lessons and the rest of the convention program will be of great benefit to me, which I hope in turn I could be to others. Thank you.
For those of us that have been in the way for 40 years, can we say with Brother Fred that the Lord has led us day by day? Thank you, Brother Fred, for the example of faithfulness after 40 years of still holding to the truth. Brother Jim?
Brother, Jim Parkinson from the West Covina class, the Los Angeles area, and I think last Sunday I was able to mention to the class one of the nice events that we had at the fair booth. If necessary, I can stand up. But I'll mention another one today. At the fair, where the fair has been cut back to 18 days from, for a while it was 24, but still we managed to distribute for us a record over 900 booklets per day average. And one of the interesting ones was a young lady who came to the booth, and the sisters were talking with her, Annabelle Davis and one of the others, whoever was on at the time with her, and she manifested a real interest. And so Sister Annabelle said, I'll try to bring you a volume of studies in the scriptures. And she liked that idea, which she did. Several days later, perhaps it was about five, well, it turned out that she had a booth just down the aisle from ours. And so it wasn't just a one-time shot. We were going to see her frequently. And the next time we saw her, she was already a third of the way through the volume and absolutely thrilled with it. And I'm still more delighted to hear of Rick Sarasi's opportunities to talk directly, week by week, all through the year. For us, 18 days out of the year gives us more witnessing opportunity than we have for the other 50 weeks put together. We're delighted to hear of the opportunities to talk to individuals and to help them in group meetings or whatever, not only in this country and Canada, but also throughout the world, when we realize what a blessing this hope of the kingdom has given many in a world of otherwise hopelessness.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Certainly the message that is in your hearts and minds is a message of hope and a message of great joy that will soon be to all people. Perhaps we'll just take a pause here and have Sister Esther read the first quote that will be a little thought-provoking, and we'll intersperse these with the rest of the testimonies. Sister Esther?
Volume 6, The New Creation, Its Present Inheritance, page 678. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. John 16:20. The new creation must all taste of the bitter cup which the Lord drained to the dregs. They must all be touched with sympathy for the infirmities of the flesh. They must all realize distinctly the exceeding sinfulness and bitterness of sin. They must all be tested concerning their loyalty to the Heavenly Father and their willingness to sacrifice every earthly thing as the interest of this cause and faithfulness to the right may demand. But blessings come through all such tears and sorrows and disappointments, the blessings of a realization of divine approval, a joy superior to that of the natural man, the joys of the Lord, fellowship and communion with the Father. There could be no such joy were it not for our blessed hope. If our joys were dependent upon circumstances of this life merely, we should be without joy. And as the apostle has declared, be of all men most miserable. 1 Corinthians 15:19. It is when hope has laid firm hold upon the exceeding great and precious promises of God's word that joy spring up as flowers in a desert, vivified by our tears, such flowers of joy and blessing as the poor world in its wilderness condition could not produce or imagine. And as our joys depend upon our hopes, they depend also upon our activities. It is not sufficient that a promise has been left us and that our hope has grasped the promise. By divine arrangement, the joy which springs into being through the implanted hopes and prospects must be nourished by prayer and by activity in the Lord's service. Our Lord indicates the close relationship between prayer and the perpetuation of our joys, saying, "Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." John 16:24.
Thank you, Sister Esther. Sister, please.
Dearly beloved in the Lord, I want to raise my voice in thanksgiving to our loving Heavenly Father, including Brother Ed too, for this wonderful convention that we're at. And I'd like to thank our loving Heavenly Father for the gift of His beloved Son. And I thank the Chicago Brethren for having this convention. It's been 63 years since I gave my heart to the Lord, and Brother Ed joined me after we were married 12 years. It's been the most wonderful life to live with the Lord, to walk hand in hand with Him daily, and to... We never had to ask the Lord for anything. He's always provided things before we ever ask. It has been a wonderful life that we, at one time, we had a produce farm, and we were selling, we always sold vegetables, and we'd have a big box of tracts, and we had many opportunities to witness for the Lord. And Brother Ed would take that part, and instead of selling and making money, he was selling the truth. And it's been a wonderful life. And most of all, it's so wonderful now that we're old. It's the best part of our life, because now we have no earthly hopes, aims, and ambitions. We're filling this mind with all spiritual things so it'll fit the spiritual body. And we're blessed richly by being at conventions every day via videos. And we thank our dear brother Tom Hack for providing us for the video from this convention. And we want to thank you, Brother Leslie, for Beauties of the Truth. We enjoy that magazine. We go through it in one morning. And we are very richly blessed with loving children and a wonderful family in the Lord. We appreciated every single discourse, and we're going to appreciate it even more in our living rooms. And as I said, we are richly blessed that we're old, because very soon we will be at that grand and glorious convention, and we meditate on that, we think about that, and we get excited. You know, it's really exciting to think that maybe tomorrow we'll be there. We'll be greeted by our brethren and by our Lord Jesus and see our Heavenly Father. And it's hard. We can't imagine it, but we do get excited about it. And we're grateful for that and for the peace that we have, which passes all understanding. And we thank you all for your prayers. We have so many sisters that are homebound and can't get out anymore, and appreciate your prayers. We pray for each and every one of you that we'll all be faithful to the end. And we thank our dear brother George, that was a gift to us from our loving Heavenly Father. And he's our elder, and he brought us down here. It's hard for Brother Ed to drive. So remember us in your prayers. We love each and every one of you.
You know, think about what is the one thing that the Lord does not have unless you give it. Isn't it your thanks and your praise? You know, this is something that we have in this example, in this testimony of thanks and praise and glorifying the Heavenly Father even after 62 years and looking back and having no regrets. And if we've not been in the truth for 62 years yet, perhaps we can start building that pattern of life, that so that we can look back and not have regrets and have a testimony like this. Brother Rick.
Well, I'm Brother Rick Sarasi from New Haven, Connecticut, Ephesia, and I too am very, very grateful to be here. And after that testimony, I look forward to getting old. Never saw it quite that way before, but that gives a whole new perspective. Brethren, I don't even know where to begin in terms of giving you a little bit of a report, perhaps, on the radio program. Before I do that, though, I want to give you a little bit of a rundown of some personal experiences in our own ecclesia. Many of you probably knew Brother Steve Sarasi, who passed away this year from cancer. And that was very difficult for us, because he was very much the glue that held us together as an ecclesia. The brethren are all important, but Brother Steve was very, very, very special to all of us. And I was especially concerned about his wife, Sister Jackie. After he passed away, she had bypass surgery, she had pneumonia, and she had an infection all at the same time. And you wonder how she even made it through. But, brother, I want to tell you that in my experiences in visiting her frequently since, she's on a mission. I have never seen her so healthy in spirit and in mind as she is now. She's on a mission of faithfulness, and I take great, great, great comfort in that. And it's a huge example to me to have suffered such a loss of your lifetime partner, but to pursue the Spirit and to pursue the Lord with all that you have. And that's all she ever wants to do. And it's just such a thrill to me, and I wanted to report that to you, because it's certainly a cause to rejoice. We have many other wonderful experiences in our class. There's some younger brethren coming along in terms of being young in the truth. We have a former Jehovah's Witness who has been visiting with a little bit recently, and he's seriously counting the cost of consecration after many years of wondering how that would fit, and many, many wonderful experiences. The Lord has blessed us. A lot of you have asked me about the radio program, so I want to give you a little bit of a quick rundown. It's kind of almost impossible to try to start, but we'll keep it short. As was mentioned, we've been on the air for 82 weeks. We've talked about lots and lots of subjects, from what is a cult to should Christians celebrate Halloween to is there a hellfire to what is the soul of man, and have had many wonderful opportunities to discuss the truth with many, many, many people. We've had ministers call us, and we've had atheists call us, and Jewish people call us, and Christians call us, and we had a call from a woman this morning who simply had a question on an Old Testament scripture. She said, "Don't answer it now. If you could do a program on it and the concept behind it, I'd appreciate it, and just let me know. I'll give you my phone number. Just call me so I can make sure I listen." And I was very touched by that, because the framework that we try to approach the truth is, our whole idea is to not try to teach them, but just simply to relay the scriptures and relay a perspective and say, "What do you think?" And when we get perspectives back, we challenge it with scripture. And the whole idea is to think about it. Just think about the scriptures and think about the Lord's word and see where you can get to. So the Lord's truly, truly blessed us. Sometimes it's an effort, I will admit. Sometimes the preparation work cuts into the rest of life. To balance a family and an ecclesia and a job and a radio program, for me, sometimes is a little bit harried, and I unfortunately get flustered and stressed out some weeks. But the Lord is gracious, and we thank Him for His overruling and somehow getting us through week by week. By God's grace, we will be going to a two-hour program, hopefully within the first quarter of this coming year, and that will be... Actually, that's a relief, because it's easier to do 2 hours than it is one, because you can take your time with subjects. So we're really looking forward to that. But it's just another quick overruling that we'd like to ask your prayers on. Some of the brethren from the East Coast know this, but the individual who taught us how to do radio, because when we went there, none of us knew anything. We walked in that first day to go on the air not knowing anything about what to do, and he just simply walked us through the process. His name is Anthony. He left the radio station within the last couple of months. And it was a surprise to us, but it was a real thrill to us to find out that he went to another radio station, which is actually in my hometown, which is far larger. It's a talk radio station. It's about 10 minutes from my house, and their average audience is between 50 and 100,000 people. And he is determined to see if he can get us on there. So I meet with him every other week or so. We have lunch together. We talk about things. He's introduced me to some of the people at the station, and we really ask an interest in your prayers along these lines. That the Lord's will would be done. Well, we don't know what the future holds. All we know is that we have a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to serve the Lord in a way that I would have never dreamed possible. This is not something that I ever planned on, that I ever dreamed about or thought about. But sometimes the Lord has planned for us things that are beyond our own comprehension. So if I were to give you a piece of inspirational thought from the year 1999 that's helped me, is don't shorten the hand of the Lord in your life. Ask Him to stretch you. Ask Him to give you something to do. And when the opportunity comes, no matter how large or impossible it seems, be still and know that He is God. May the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you, Brother Rick. Could I hold you just here for 1 second? First of all, I want to just note the appreciation of these privileges and not shortening the Lord's hand. But you mentioned opening Sister Jackie Sarasi and Brother Steve's passing this year. And so it has been with a number of brethren, losing mates or physical struggles. Could we just pause with a word of prayer and ask Brother Rick to lead us in prayer, to give strength and courage to these brethren that are so afflicted?
Holy Father in heaven, we come before you with hearts overjoyed and filled with awe of your grace and your love for us. And Father, we come to you now at the end of this year, at the end of this century, to ask your blessing upon your little flock that is left upon this earth. We ask you to help us to cope with the difficulties that come upon us, with the trials, with the tribulations, and Father, especially with the losses. Father, we know as the time goes on, the time becomes shorter, and sometimes the trials become harder and deeper. And we know that many of your children are suffering inside at the loss of their husband or wife or loved one or brother or sister. And we ask that you would specially bless them with the compassion of your Spirit, with the upbuilding of their body of Christ, that they can be strengthened, that they can see the light of another day and see that even in the midst of the turmoil and the struggle and the strain, that there's light at the end of the tunnel, and that through all of the difficulty, there is your Spirit and the smile of your grace. Father, we please be with them and strengthen them as you see fit, and help us who may not be having such difficulties to see their pain and to go to them and to comfort them and to uplift them and so be uplifted ourselves. Father, we pray for the full establishment of your kingdom, and we long for the day where sorrow, pain, and suffering will be past. Leave all in thy care and keeping in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Rick. I'd like to have Brother Mark read the next quote, and then we'll continue with some testimonies.
Reprint 5706. Christians to be non-resistant. Seeing that the true church is separate from the world and the Lord's plan and his dealings, we can look with comparative equanimity upon the overriding of justice and equity by the kingdoms of this world, and may realize that the Lord, especially at the present time, is taking advantage of their natural disposition toward warfare and conquest and empire building. He will cause the wrath of man thus to work out certain features of his plan, which will prove later on to be for the blessing of the whole world, those now in their graves as well as those yet living. Not being able to see behind the veil into all the gracious purposes of our Heavenly Father, and not being wise enough to know how these purposes could be carried out, the peoples of the earth are groping on in darkness, thinking they are managing their own affairs, not knowing that a mighty hand is so directing the affairs of nations that his own gracious designs shall be outworked in all things, not knowing that nothing can thwart his purposes. The Lord's people occupy largely the position of spectators in respect to the course of this world, its policies, politics, conquests, its frantic efforts to carry out its selfish projects. Were we to take a hand in the affairs of the world on either side of the great question with which they are grappling, we would surely be working contrary to the divine program. The Lord does not propose to give the victory now to either party in the strife. We are to be separate from the world and to give our thought and attention, our sympathy and interest, to the affairs of the heavenly kingdom. And while our voices, if ever raised at all on such questions, should be raised on behalf of justice, mercy, and peace, yet we can view with great composure whatever events and changes may take place in the world, knowing that our Heavenly Father has all power to overrule these matters to his own praise and to the ultimate good of mankind. But the world tells us that we're too peaceable. They say that mankind could not get along without a certain amount of warfare. We answer that no one can understand God's methods except as he is guided by his word, by the spirit of the truth. God's dealings are different in different ages and for different purposes. These seemingly conflicting presentations of God's will are perfectly reasonable and harmonizable from the proper viewpoint.
Thank you, Brother Jerry, and dear brethren. It's a real privilege to be here in Chicago. I don't take it for granted, and this year was especially special. We didn't know if we could get away. Brother Jerry had a quotation at the beginning where he corrected himself. He corrected from learning on his breast to leaning on his breast, and I think learning on his breast is a very good thought also. And This year has been very precious learning. Many of the brethren have been congratulating us frequently for two things that happened this year, our retirement and our first grandchild, neither of which can I accept congratulations. It's just an awesome, humbling privilege, and for which we can take no credit. We know what is meant, but we're very thankful to the Lord for these two. In a way, they're contrasting blessings. One has to do with a decision because of our feeling of the shortness of time, and the grandchild, you have the thought of, well, maybe we'd like a little more time. And so the Lord balances us, and we thank Him for every moment. And we also thank Him for, I thank Him personally for some of the bitter struggles I'm having in my mind. It's pretty much just between me and the Lord, and it's worse at night. And the powers of darkness are very, very much trying to get a hold of me. And I think Satan is very jealous over any progress or any zeal. I know I could look back on the year and say it's been the best because I've learned the most, but it's also, it just seems like my flesh is the most frantically cornered. It is cornered like the rat, and I want the new creature to have the upper hand. There's one scripture that I'd like to leave with you. Brother Bob and I have been meditating on it and repeating it to each other over and over, and I must say it's our scripture of the year, perhaps, at least mine. It seems like a very extravagant promise, but you notice how many times the word all is in here, and it's beautiful. It's from 2 Corinthians 9. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I mean, what else do we need? So I just leave that with you and ask for your prayers that we can be a blessing in our sphere and to be humbled under the mighty hand of God and exalted in any way He wants and when He wants it. Thank you.
These precious promises sometimes do seem, as you say, extravagant. They seem overpowering. But they are the very ones that sustain us as we lean upon the arm of these promises. And we can also identify with your expressions of new life coming to this world as being both awesome and humbling. The Lord bless you, Sister Rebecca. Tom?
Brother Tom Adams from the Metro Class in Detroit. And the Metro Class requested that their love be sent to the Benson here, whoever testified. And Brother Jerry has asked us to share, and maybe I'm not as old as some of our brethren here, but I think I've been in the way long enough that I can share some of my past experiences and what strengthens and encourages me, of course, not the least of which is the love of the brethren and the conventions. And the sustaining support that has been is, first of all, Jesus' love of the Heavenly Father, His driving force, His intense inward desire to please and honor the Heavenly Father. When I realized this, I set it as my my goal in order to be like Him. I knew if this was His spirit, this is the spirit I wanted. My Heavenly Father approved setting that goal, and He has helped me toward that goal over a period of time. Another aspect is asking to be kept in the truth. That is my continual prayer with the Heavenly Father, because He is our strength. We know that we all must watch ourselves that we don't err from the truth. It is our own responsibility, not the elders, not some other sister or brother, not our husband or our wife, not the pastor, but we have to watch ourselves. Additionally, what setting my sights on future privileges beyond the veil as part of that great city, the New Jerusalem, the 144,000 strong. If you picture a city, 144,000, that's really quite a city. Looking over and above what we have here, the earth and its problems and everything, and looking continually to what we have yet to come to. And part of that is endeavoring to be and do what we hope to do in the kingdom. Now, doing it now. Another is appreciating the Heavenly Father's cherished plan of including our small sacrifice together with our masters, that we should be joint heirs with Him and co-mediators to all Israel. It's humbling, but there's also the humbling but thrilling tender kindness of the Heavenly Father when He takes and tucks me under the chin, as it were, and lifts my head, lifts my spirit, when I could be thinking downwardly. I swore many years ago never to be depressed, but that doesn't keep us from feeling a little left out or a little lonely or something. And somehow the Heavenly Father just takes and gives you an experience and just kind of lifts your head, lifts your spirit, reminds you of who you are and what you're coming to, what He wants for you. Something else that helps us sustain is the marvelous aspect of the far-reaching hand of our Heavenly Father to find brethren in Romania and Moldova and Siberia, in Africa, Australia, Japan, India, all around the world. Another has been the life and love and art of appreciation. To learn to appreciate others in small ways and big ways, both with our brethren, with our neighbors, with those we meet in the world. It's an art of love. It's like doing unto others you would have them do unto you. If you want to be appreciated, you should appreciate others. And that will overlook criticism and the bad things. And you'll find that people are, very likable. And they appreciate being noticed, and they appreciate being thought well of, and that their good qualities are taken note of. Another and last has been the thought of going into the realm of spiritual nature, something we don't actually know what it is. And we wonder sometimes if we would like it. But as we just recently learned, the answer to that prayer was, we shall be satisfied when we awake in His likeness. It'll be glorious. Pray for me as I pray for you.
Thank you, Brother Tom. You've reminded us of our goal is Christ and Christ alone. We have a mission, and it's good to articulate it. Think about it specifically, where we're going. You've also mentioned our brethren. I'd like to just pause for a moment on this. You mentioned brethren in many places, but we have brethren in Canada, South America, Australia, Japan. We have brethren in Europe, including England, Germany, France. We have brethren in Poland, Ukraine, Moldova, Romania. You mentioned Africa, India,
We have brethren around this world. Could we pause just a moment and perhaps ask Brother Bob Gray if you would just remember in prayer, could you use the microphone, remember our brethren in these faraway places, not gathered here, but around this world that binds our hearts with this present truth and spirit at the end of this year.
Merciful and Holy Father in heaven, we lift our voices to Thee in our minds also, continuing in Your presence through this hour now to remember our brethren who, like we, are looking forward to the glorious kingdom and the promises that You have provided for us. Holy Father, we remember our sister Junko in Japan and the needs that she has for fellowship and the very few that she's able to meet with. We remember also our brethren in Australia and in India, especially the new efforts that are being made to translate the volumes into native Indian languages. We pray for our brethren who are living in the Holy Land, and we remember our sisters, Sister Emma and Sister Tamara and Sister Tanya and others in Siberia, our brethren in Lithuania, our brethren in Ukraine, in Poland, Ukraine and Moldova and Romania, the many needs that they have, the difficulties that they have, and we pray that You would increase the measure of their faith and increase the zeal for their lack perhaps of temporal things is a blessing to them in some ways. We pray that the materialism that is invading all parts of this world would not devour them or us. We pray that we can be faithful to them in our help and service, and join with the brethren in other parts, in Germany and France and Belgium and Holland and Finland, England. We remember them because we have had occasion to see and hear of them. We pray that the ones we haven't heard of and the ones we don't know, that You would bless them and strengthen them. We pray for the new class in Donkwa in Ghana and the brethren in Nigeria, the JCs and others. Brother Pius and Moses who visited with us. And there's so many, Father, that we are not familiar with, that only You know, who listen to Your word of truth either on the radio or read it in literature and have a great desire to be close to You and encourage us to keep contact with them. We pray that we would follow that example and be faithful. The brethren in Argentina and other South American countries and the areas south of us, we pray for the brethren in Canada who are laboring for the Ukrainian brethren and others, brethren in this country from coast to coast and who have great desires to be active in the harvest work. We pray that their hands may be strengthened. Many of them are old, and we pray that the young ones would comprehend and be able to pick up and understand the spirit of sacrifice and to bend their hearts. And for those who have gathered here and for those who are unable to gather, we pray Your blessing upon them all. We seek, Father, for all of our brethren, the strength that is needed for this difficult time. Pray that we might have courage as we face the future. We realize there are many hard days ahead of us, not only for us as spiritual children, but also for the natural seed of Israel. We pray Your overruling providence is to be a blessing to them and to give them courage and strength. And especially, Father, we pray to Thee with great thanksgiving for the forgiveness of sin, because there is not one of us who doesn't need to come to Thee in the name of our Advocate, our Lord Jesus Christ, to seek forgiveness daily. We pray that You would remember us in our weakness and our lack of faith, that it might be strengthened by Your word and by the encouragement of the saints. We pray in Jesus' name, giving You thanks for this opportunity of privilege of prayer. Amen.
We ask Sister Esther Hestero to read the next quote for us, and we will continue the testimonies after this.
Reprint 1321, September 1891, page 118. Dearly beloved, What you have learned concerning God's glorious plan of the ages and concerning your privileged place in that plan as heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, his Son, and concerning the conditions upon which you hold this precious promise and may finally realize it, and concerning that great foundation doctrine of our redemption from sin and death through the precious blood of the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, upon which fact rests the whole superstructure of the wondrous and glorious plan, hold fast these things, knowing of whom you have learned them. This precious truth is God's message to you, not man's. No such high and glorious hope could ever have entered the mind of mortal man had not God revealed it by his Spirit, as he has done through faith in his word in his own due time. It is all in that word. Search and see for yourselves, and be not faithless, but believing. It comes not to you on the miserable authority of vain imagination or dreams or doubtful visions, but on the authority of God's most holy and authentic word. True, it is almost too good to believe, but it is not just like our God. Does it not gloriously illustrate the breadth of his mighty mind, the scope of his marvelous wisdom and power, and the depth of...
But you know, a funeral is a wonderful opportunity to speak the truth and to bring home what death really is and what the resurrection of the dead will mean to all mankind. So I've had some experiences of doing this. There was one funeral, Sister Hazel Borger, who was 91. Her daughter knew the truth, but she was married to a man whose brother and him were in auto dealership, a large one in Cincinnati. So this turned out to be quite a large gathering, and of course they were Catholic. Most of the people were Catholic. The service turned out very well, and we gave lots of words and scriptures of comfort. And they had a man that sang in the garden, which was beautiful. And after the service was over, I didn't know how, especially the daughter's husband, since he had always been a Catholic, how that he really would take the service. Well, she come up and put her arms around me and said that was the most beautiful service I ever heard. And the husband came up and said, Bill, no priest could offer anything like you offered. And I said, well, praise the Lord, because these are the words from him. And so we've had some very good experiences in speaking the truth. I might make mention, we have opportunities all around us, really, brethren. If we would go to these retirement centers and the, I can't think where the ailing go, we have a couple in these places now where they're... A home, Well, anyway, if you go there and ask for the activity director and talk to them, they're glad to talk with you and tell them you're non-denominational and offer them videos. In fact, I had a living assist place where they had me in for over a year. And I would talk for about 15, 20 minutes on the scripture, and then we'd have a video. And after a year, I decided that they'd all heard it pretty much. So I said, well, to the activity director, would you mind putting the videos on? And I said, I have other places I'm really obligated to go. And she said, no, I'd be glad to do that. So I checked about 6 months later, and she had been doing it. But, you know, if you never go ask, you'll never have any opportunity. So all you have to do is just ask for the activity director. And anyway, this year has been a wonderful year in the Lord. We've had some sickness and some disability, but the Lord overruled. In fact, the doctors are rather amazed at times when I tell them how many miles I drove and so forth. But, you know, the Lord provides all the strength and gives us all the energy. In Wilmington, we have a collection of a lot of different faiths come in. And one of the sisters said, well, what are you going to say if someone says you're using the first volume? How are you going to explain that? And I said, well, we give plenty of scriptures to back everything we say. So if anybody wants to say anything, they're not talking against us. You're not talking against us. You're talking against the Lord, because it's His word. So that's the way we handle our witnessing. We don't water it down because we're among nominal Christians. And we've had very good experiences with even ministers came in, and they read scriptures, and they said, we explained about the soul and so on, and they said they read that many times about how man became a living soul, but they didn't understand what that really meant. So we've had a lot of good experiences, and I think all of us, we've got plenty of tools to work with, so let's make use of them. That's my motto and my desire to serve the Lord. And I think of all of you and your varied experiences, and I know we're all getting older, and we try to keep our energy and our zeal alive. So may the Lord bless us all and continue with us, is my prayer.
Thank you, Brother Bill. Your thoughts remind me of the admonition to ask and you shall receive. You also mentioned bittersweet experiences, and think how instructive that is if our experiences were only sweet or only bitter. But the Lord allows this great instruction. We have a little less than 20 minutes left, so perhaps we should encourage our testimonies to be focused in the comments. Sister Charlotte.
I'm Sister Charlotte Adams from Metro Detroit class. I'm thankful to be here, and I wanted to bring the love of my daughter Joy Nellis to all the brethren here. She couldn't come this time, but she sent her love. And I guess since I seem to wait so late to give my testimony, and it would really probably be quite a long testimony, I just kind of wanted to give a general review of the years as Jerry and Tom and I were talking at the dinner table. And thinking about some times past, we were all of the same class originally. That was our beginning class, the Portland, Oregon class. And so we have good memories of the class and the times there. And times were quite a bit different then. We used to have Frank and Ernest on. The radio program was on every Sunday. And just to let you know how times have changed. but I won't give my whole testimony as we're so short on time. Anyhow, I was going to mention the fact that I too have been in the truth 40 years, but I feel ashamed that I don't know more than I do and have more knowledge than I do. And I'm very thankful that we have the watch night service, as Tom and I were missing those and had many good memories of prior watch night services. Like, we used to go to Phoenix, Arizona every year at New Year's and have the watch night service. And there was one particular person who was the eldest sister of the class, and she was referred to as Grandma Hersher, and she was always the very first one to get up and give her testimony. And that's been a special memory through the years. Anyhow, I'll just discontinue my testimony, and Lord bless you all, and pray for me as I'm going through the most severe trial of my life. And how to feel as far as bringing a blessing to you, I'm not. Sure, I guess mainly the scripture I would say is that even though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Yeah. Even though he slay me, I will trust him. May you continue to trust him, Sister Charlotte, through whatever time he allows you in the future. He's led you all this way and will continue to do so. Brother Mark, could we have you read the next little shorter quote?
Reprint 1329 by Joseph Moffat. The mere assent to the truthfulness of even all the elements of the faith is not enough. We may advocate the life of God in Christ and the judgment of God in Christ, while we remain as selfish as sin and as hard as nether millstones. To have unfeigned faith in Christ is to trust Him, adhere to Him, and be faithful and steadfast in conforming to Him. Our perception of the love of God must lead to appreciation, our appreciation to reciprocation, and our reciprocation must never come to an end. He who loves the darkness remains in the darkness, and he who loves the light comes to the light. And he who remains in the darkness manifests that his deeds are wrought in Satan, while he who comes to the light manifests that his deeds are wrought in God. Whenever and wherever God is manifested in the light and the love of Christ, men are being tested, tried, or proved, and ultimately they may either reject or reciprocate the love of God. Those who reject the love of God cannot continue to live. And to those who reciprocate the love of God, the ratio of their reciprocation will always be the extent of their salvation.
Sister Gloria.
I'm Sister Gloria Zenler from the Detroit Biocent Ecclesia. And first of all, I'd like to bring the love of your brethren in Detroit. They wanted us to convey their love to you. And also the love of our daughter and son-in-law, Steve and April Mengus. They were with us for the Christmas holidays, and they wanted their special love brought to you all here, too. I'm going to try to be focused, but there's so many thoughts that are going around in my mind. I started on my Christian walk when I was in my teens, and at the time I thought, I'll never be 40 years old. Seeing the year 2000 seemed incredible, and yet here we are. And all I can say is that I thank the Lord that I'm still here and that I'm still walking in this narrow way. I'm so grateful for the knowledge of the truth and the peace that comes with it. And when all the doomsayers were starting to talk about all the catastrophes and the horrors that were going to happen in the year 2000, I thought, well, maybe it will. But isn't that what we're expecting? Sooner or later, one day it's coming. And on the one hand, my flesh was saying, oh, how can I do this? And another way, I was excited at the prospect. And I'm almost a little disappointed now that it's all going so smoothly. But my life in the Lord has been one of powerful answers to prayer. And one way in which the Lord answered prayer for me was to point me in the direction of articles or scriptures that answered the questions that were pressing on my mind. And one of the most powerful for me was an article on cheerful endurance. My birthday text is, let patience have her perfect work, but need be entire, wanting nothing. And an article that I read about cheerful endurance made me realize that our goal and my goal was to be to cheerfully go through all of the experiences that the Lord had for me. And that has been a great lesson to me throughout my Christian life. And not that I've always been successful in doing that, but it's always been before me as a goal. Brother Michael read a passage about cross-bearing today. And as he was reading it, I kept thinking about some of the brethren that have borne heavier crosses than I have. And some of the brethren that I have met in other countries that have borne much heavier crosses. And I only pray that the Lord will give me the strength to bear whatever may come, whatever he sees fit to make me bear, and that I will rejoice in that privilege and take it with cheer and gratefulness that I have been allowed to walk in this narrow way, and that I have had the blessings of being in here, not the least of which is this wonderful family in Christ. Lord, be with you all.
Thank you, Sister Gloria. And if tribulation and difficulty should come to any of us more so in the year ahead, let us rejoice, as Sister Gloria does, knowing that our salvation draws near. Well, we're waiting for another testimonies. Brother Mark, did you have another one, please?
Well, I want to thank the Lord for being here. And on Sundays we have, I think it's that same chart, behind the podium. And on Tuesday nights in our home in the basement, we have a chart on the wall. And from where I sit on Tuesdays, I'm always staring right at it. And you asked for a thought that has developed over the past year that has left an impression. And in this last year, it's been stronger than the year before. And that is, for over 2,000 years. Well, not over 2,000. Don't count that. Okay. For the whole gospel age, everybody has been really longing to be living where we are living right now. And I think in the future, they'll look back and they'll say, wow, what a privileged opportunity to have been living at that time of the harvest. Because we have a message that has a deeper impact than any other time of the age. We have a situation in the world where that message has a deeper impact than any other time of the age. And then I look around and I see brethren that I was growing up with that were Sunday school teachers and elders and family members, and now they shuffle their feet a little bit, and maybe their presentation on the platform isn't as smooth as I remembered it a few years ago. And maybe some have passed on, and all of a sudden I start realizing, I look over my shoulder and I don't see anybody coming up behind us that's going to replace those that are leaving us. And I think of Elijah, who thought he was the last one and yet there were 7,000 that didn't bow the knee to Baal. And I think of Gideon and his band of 300 and the different illustrations we have of those that would be at this end of the age that would have a specific work to do. And I think, well, if those who are older than me get older and shuffle more and forget more, the responsibility all of a sudden is shifting back onto maybe not my generation, but surely onto me more than it ever has been before. And I'm not saying it's a fear, but it's more of a concentration this year than the previous year, and that year more than the previous year to that, that I really want to be faithful so that I can be aware of when this opportunity comes up to be able to do something, if I have the strength to do it, and not disappoint the Lord that you know the truth, but you're not doing anything about it, and it sort of just sort of passes you by, and someone else does the work, whether it be the stones that cry out or whatever the agency the Lord uses. And I look forward to next year, because next year maybe the opportunity will come up and a better message will come, and it will be a riper time for that message, and be just in the right place at the right time to be used of the Lord to carry out the work. And maybe not. You know, he may say, no, Mark, you have the wrong attitude. But maybe not. He can say, you do have the right attitude. And I think about that, because I know this time next year a number of brethren won't be here to set the example before me that maybe I have to set the example for now. And so I do ask an interest in your prayers to be faithful in that area. It's actually to make it, I look at my mom and I look at my sister and I get a great deal of strength from them. And I know that when they're gone, there's going to be a hole there that's going to be hard to fill. And I see brethren around that I have looked to as real encouragements over the years. And when they're gone, I'm not going to have that crutch to hold on to. And I want to tell you, I love you now while you're still here. And when you're on the other side, you'll know it. But it is one of the concerns this past year that has hit stronger than other years.
Brother Mark, you've told us that we have a message for our time, but you've also told us and reminded us that the responsibility is here and now and ours. Be faithful. Perhaps we have time for our last quote, and I'll ask Sister Esther Estera to read the last quote, the next one, and then we will need to draw to conclusion.
Benjamin Barton, Pilgrim Echoes, page 38. Romans 5:3. We glory in tribulation, not as fanatics, but because it works out for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, making us more like Jesus. Tribulation works patience, while we long for the end of our course and this dark night to be ended, enables us to patiently wait God's due time. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, who long for it. Such are willing to pay a good price to get it. Many want righteousness, but there are few who hunger and thirst after it. The Lord does not give righteousness to those who regard the cause. We must be willing to endure anything, sickness or loss of property, in order to obtain it, saying, Lord, let the trials come. I must have the character at any price.
Dear brethren, this evening has been time for a few reflections, some prayers, some looking through the eyes of one another.
and the year is drawing to a close. There will be opportunities for testimony in the rest of this convention, so please take advantage of those. But let us take pause at the end of this year and think where the Lord has led us and where He is leading us to. Let us remember those that have taught us, those that have gone before, weathered the storms, fought the battles, those wise teachers who regarded the word of the Lord and the harvest message. Let us remember the reformers that were before them. Let us remember the early church fathers who had the courage of their convictions. Let us remember the apostles and disciples. All of them have gone before us, faithful unto death. And let us remember our Lord and Master. And as we remember their example, let us vow that we will not forget their precedent, that we will carry this torch until our last breath, and then we will continue to give Him the glory and the honor for eternity. Amen.
My brethren, I think you can agree with me. It's been a nice way to end the year. It's been a good way to think back and reflect upon how the Lord has led us day by day and brought us along each step of our way. Now, before we close, we'll ask Brother Norm Zemner to come forward and read the songs in the night.
Songs in the night is taken from John 14:23, December 31st. And it reads, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will make our abode with him, and we will come unto him. Have you heard the cry, the knock announcing our bridegroom's present? Are you awake? Are you seeing to it that you are clothed with the righteousness of Christ as with a garment? See that under his direction you help one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, remembering that is written, the Lamb's wife hath made herself ready. John 14:23. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto me, and we will make our abode with him.
Well, brethren, what more can we say at the end of this first day? But may we all reflect back and thank the Lord for the past year and have a great new millennium. As Willis says, one that will be coming each of our ways. Let's close by singing number 69, Rest in God. We'll rise on the last verse and we'll ask Brother Jerry to have the closing prayer of this day. Hymn 69. Thank you.
Holy Father in heaven, we give thee our reverence, our love, our joy, our thanks. Dear Father, we thank thee for the bounties of this day, for the truths, the reminders, the counsel, the examples from your holy word, and for the walk in this life. Dear Father, as we near the end of this day, the end of this year, we continue to submit our lives unto thee and ask thy continued direction, counsel, blessing, truth, and spirit, which will help us and guide us to understanding, to diligence in thy service. So continue to bless this convention, our fellowship, our rest in the night, and the sessions in the morrow. Dear Father, we continue to desire to love thee more, more deeply, more sincerely. So open our hearts and our minds and lead us to the way of life and truth, where we may continue to praise thee for eternity and be instruments of thy peace and life and hope for mankind. To this end, Father, we submit our lives to thee continually in the blessed name, the merit of Jesus.